Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be at the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. I want to read from verse 29 to 37 is what I got here. The next day, John seeth Jesus, this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I'm just going to stop right there. Those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ have one message only. And that message is that Jesus is the Christ. Look unto him. Look unto him. John the Baptist cried what? Behold the Lamb of God. And our message is exactly the same, hopefully. Look unto Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. That's my title today, Paul. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Now, let's just be very, very clear from the beginning, in case there's any doubt anywhere with anybody. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. There is no other. He is the Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ is the one who took away all the sin that was taken away. All the sins that were taken away, he's the one that took them. And there is no forgiveness of sin in any other, including yourself or your works. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Excuse me. The scriptures say plainly, he took our sins in his own body, On the tree. You see, the Lord, it also says this, the scripture says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. Understand, any place in the scripture where it talks about sin being taken away, sin being forgiven, it is always, always, always particular. people like to make it out like it's this broad thing. Jesus took away all the sins of all the people in the world. And the scripture never states that. It states the exact opposite. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And you have to look in the context to see who he's writing about. But he's writing about believers. I'll tell you that right now. He's writing about the elect. Those who shall believe when God reveals himself to them. The Lord made him to be sin. Made him to be sin. What? Who knew no sin. He had no sin of his own. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh. Jesus is the Christ. And here's the thing. Paul tells us later. Christ is our Passover. Now, if you remember back, you don't have to turn there. But if you remember back to Exodus 12, there's a little progression there in Exodus chapter 12. In verse 3, it tells you to take a lamb. That's the instructions to Moses from God. Take a lamb, right? And then in verse 4, it tells you to count for the lamb the family in the household. So we went from a lamb to the lamb. And then in verse 5, he says this. Your lamb shall be without blemish. So we went from a lamb, which is good. Then we go to the lamb, which is glorious. But here it is, folks. He doesn't stop there. He goes to your lamb. Your lamb. And you know what that is? That's grace. That's grace. The Lamb of God is also your Lamb. The Passover, Christ is our Passover, is your Lamb. When you heard the gospel of your salvation, then you come to know that the Lamb of God is your Lamb. Your lamb. I like that. I do. Because you understand, like I said, a lamb is great. The lamb is glorious. But your lamb makes it personal to every single child of God. And if he's not your lamb, you have no hope right now. If he's not your lamb, is this Jesus, the Christ, the Lamb of God, your lamb? That's the question. And here's the answer. Behold, the Lamb of God. I can call him my lamb. I can call him that. Can you call him your lamb? If you can, that's grace. That's grace. That's glorious. Now, let's be clear. To behold the Lamb of God, you must behold him as he is. Not as you want him to be. Not as people say that he is. As he actually is. And for that, we have this evidence right here in this book. In the scripture. In the Bible. This is the sole authority of who Jesus Christ is. And it's very clear. Because here's my point. Jesus Christ is never up to the imagination of man. You understand? What think ye of Christ better be based on this book. It better be in this book. Who is this Lamb of God? John tells us to behold the Lamb of God. Well, I'm going to go through some things. John chapter 2 and verses 13 to 16. And maybe some people don't know a lot about this, but here it is. John chapter 2, I went too far. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. You remember that song Earl used to quote every now and then? Sweet little Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. The same man went out and made a whip when he saw what they were doing in his father's temple. This temple was to be a place of worship. They turned it into a livestock market. They turned it into a flea market. They turned it into a place of merchandise. They were selling animals. Now, don't get me wrong. I know some people traveled to get to Jerusalem to go to the temple. You understand, it would not be unheard of for them to buy a goat or a dove or a sheep to have to offer. But you don't do it in the temple. You do it outside. And that's what Christ did. But Christ was so upset by this, he actually made a scourge, a whip, and drove them out of the temple. That's not exactly what you would call meek and mild. But I can tell you this, it was entirely and completely the right thing to do because our Lord Jesus Christ did it, or did it. Here, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. I had a man tell me one time years ago that he had never heard of this. Now, he also had told me when he was a young man, he was studying to be a preacher. But he had never heard of this account until he saw it on a TV show, of all things. Because he asked me about it the next day. I didn't watch the show. But he asked me about it. He said, hey, is that in the Bible where Jesus made a whip and run the people out of the temple? I said, yeah, it's in there. Yeah. So some big studying to be a preacher when you were young. But anyhow, I never knew that. I said, sorry, it's been in there the whole time. As a matter of fact, it's still there. But people don't talk about it. People don't preach it. You understand? He did tell that woman at the well, you worship ye know not what. And here's the thing, he could have said it of a lot more people than he did. The Lord of glory, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lamb of God, drove these people out of the temple. What did it say? He cleared out the marketplace they had put in the temple. And here's the thing. What I want to tell you, if you don't know this account, behold the Lamb of God. This is Him. This is Him. Just as much as when He fed the 5,000, this is Jesus Christ. This is the Lamb of God driving those people. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Here it is. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things. Evil things. Oh my. These words were spoken by the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ to the most religious people on earth at that time. These words were spoken to the Pharisees, the Jewish Pharisees. A good man speaks out of the good treasure of his heart, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And what did he say? What? How can ye, being evil, speak good things? And then he told them, you can't. You can't. And he called them a bunch of poisonous, deadly snakes. Oh, my. He called them a generation of poisonous, killing snakes. How do snakes kill? With their fangs, with their mouths. They bite and people die. And how can you, being evil, speak good things? You can't. If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to end up in the ditch. They weren't aiming for the ditch. They did not want to be in the ditch, but that's where they're going. Why? Because those that are evil, out of an evil heart, bring forth evil things. And it's the way it is. He called them evil. You understand? I don't know that anybody's ever preached that outside of grace preachers, that Jesus Christ called some people evil to their face. Because don't you know, God is love. He loves everybody. Except for those he don't. But they don't want to bring that part up. He called people evil. And you know why he called them evil? Because they were evil. Ah. What do I say to that? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He said other things to other men. Let's see. Matthew 23. Verse 13. Matthew 23. Verse 13. Oh, yeah. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Here it is. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? I'm not going to go on any farther. Don't need to. Behold the Lamb of God. You understand? He knows you are a hypocrite. He knows what and who is in the hearts of every man. He knows if you have an honest and good heart, because if you have an honest and good heart, he gave it to you. He gave it to you. And he knows if you don't. And it is written. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts. But he, knowing their thoughts, answered them. You understand? Some of these people asked him a question, and he answered the question that they weren't asking. And it drove them crazy, and it made them mad, and they wanted to kill him. What did he say to that? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He, knowing their thoughts. I don't know if I told you all this or not. I think I told you, Paul. It might have been afterward. After service one day. I may have said it. Here it is. Debbie was watching a TV show. It was around Easter time. Okay. And it was about the life of Jesus. And they were dramatizing some of the events in the Gospels. And then they would talk to people in between these scenes that they did. And there was a fellow that came on after one of these scenes, and I really got tickled. It stuck with me, okay? Because this guy said, you know, or do you know, that the Gospels were written by, this man said, the Gospels were written like the Pharisees were the bad guys. And I still looked at Deb, of course, and told her, well, or maybe it could be that the Pharisees were the bad guys. But no, it was just written like they were the bad guys, you know? Here's the thing. Jesus Christ said so. These scribes, these Pharisees, what of them? They were hypocrites. Jesus Christ spoke truthfully always. He spoke truly. Verily, verily, they were fakers. They were actors. That's what a hypocrite means. The word hypocrite was used for the word actor in a play. They were fakers. He said it in one place. This people, he's quoting the Old Testament, I know. These people honor me with their lips, but what? Their hearts are far from me. That's a hypocrite. And that's what these people were. And that's why Jesus Christ called them a hypocrite. They were, here's the word, dishonest. Maybe even to themselves. You understand, never underestimate the power of self-deception. You can think you're right and be wrong just as bad as you think you're right. And these men, they were dishonest. But here it is, right here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He sees the thoughts and intents of the hearts of every man. Here's another one. It's in Matthew 26, 53. Let me see. This is the words of Jesus Christ when they came to pick him up after Judas had betrayed him. And he's telling his disciples. Well, 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. But here, verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? They did not take Jesus Christ against his will. They did not. They did not. He told his disciples, if I wanted to, I could stop this right now. Right now. What? With a word. That's all it took. When they came to him and they said, we're looking for Jesus, and he said, I am. And they all fell back down on the ground. It's not that they went back. No, it's that they fell back on the ground. He had the power then. They were taking him by wicked hands to be crucified and slain. But it was according to what? According to God. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God the Father and Jesus Christ. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What? Behold the Lamb of God. You know, I could stop this right now. I could pray to my Father. He'd send 12 legions of angels. But I'm not going to do it. Because for this cause came I unto this world. This cause came I into this world as a man. And this is the way I'm going to go out. And they meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good. The man Jesus of Nazareth was God and is God. And by him all things consist. And by him all things consisted while he was walking on this planet. Oh, I like that. And by him all things were made that were made. What? They were made by him. And they were made for him. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. I like that. Angels move at his command. But here's the other part of that. Angels don't move at his command. Oh, I like that. I do. He was and he is God manifest in the flesh, and his word is the word of God. Why? Because he is the Lamb of God. Because the Lamb of God is God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, those three or four incidents there, those events I talked about, I know some people might consider them mean. But as far as all the truth that I just read out of the scriptures and what I've said about it, I hope, it's all good. It's all good. All things happen together for good to them that love God. And everything in here, driving out the money changers and all that. Some people might consider some of that stuff mean. Calling people a bunch of snakes. Woe unto them and calling them hypocrites. They might consider it mean, but Jesus Christ said it, and it's good. That's what it is. It's good. Because just because people consider it mean, all that means is that people are wrong. And they are. I understand men may consider these things to be mean, but I do want to tell you some things that some people might consider nice. But they're not nice. They're just good. They're just good. Think about this. There are two people. Let me see. Two people in the scriptures whom Jesus Christ himself said they had great faith. And here's the thing. Very strange thing. Both of them were Gentiles. First one was the Canaanite woman. Now, this is a woman who came to Christ on behalf of her daughter. Her daughter was vexed with a devil. And Jesus ignored her at first. And he told her, when he did speak to her, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he told her. But then, this woman didn't stop. This woman came and worshiped him. That's what it says in the scripture. This woman came and worshiped who? The Lamb of God. Jesus the Christ. And he told her then, it's not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs. And then she said it. Truth, Lord. He said it. It was true. It was true. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What did he say then? Great is thy faith.